Welcome. You have a syllabus in front of you. I'd like you to take it out and look at it just to get an idea of where we're headed with this whole thing. We're here to talk about manhood. I'm reminded of the words in Ecclesiastes that the words of the wise are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. And I pray that that's what the legacy of our time is, that there really are well-driven nails, that each of us would drive the nail deeply on these particular matters. You know, hit it hard, drive it deeply, categorize it, see how it works, you know, in your heart. You know, I'm going to begin with a session about what it means to be a newborn man. We're talking about manhood. We're talking about being born again and what it means to be a newborn man. You know, nail the reality of your manhood and whether or not you're a newborn man. Then Paul Carrington is going to come up here and he's going to speak about temptation and how manhood is slain through temptation. He's going to use the example of Pharaoh's daughter and Solomon. So nail your devotion for purity at this time. And then in the next session, at the very end tonight, I'm going to give just a short session around the words play the man. And I'm going to explain where that terminology comes from. It has a very rich historical and theological meaning, play the man. And then in the morning, Mike Davenport is going to bring a message about hate and what you should hate. Men should hate certain things. And he's going to bring a message from Proverbs 8:13. Nail the importance of hate. Drive that nail deeply. There are things that you must hate if you're going to love anything good. And then Gavin Beers is going to bring us a message on diligence out of Proverbs 13:4. And the critical nature of diligence and all that we do. Nail the nail of diligence. Hit it hard. Savor it. Think about it. See how it works in your life. And then finally, you know, as we end up our morning tomorrow, Anthony Mathenia is going to talk about Boaz, a protector, a provider, and a progenitor. Nail your role as protector, as provider, as progenitor. So I'd like just to ask us to hit the nail hard. Drive those nails in deep as we're here together. Now, the title of the first message that I want to give here is Newborn Man. And my text is John chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. If you could turn there, turn to John 4, verses 1 through 8. Now, in this message, there are three things I want to say. I'll tell you what they are right now. I want to talk about celebrating that you're a man. Secondly, I want to talk about Jesus as the perfect man. And thirdly, I want to say that to become like him, you must be born again. So those are the three things. It's really very, very simple. The first thing that I want to drive home, and I pray that you'll drive this nail hard. Drive it hard, especially you boys. You were born a man. Celebrate that you are a man. One day a doctor said, "It's a boy." That was you. And it was a great day. And the world needs boys who know they are boys who will become men. The world needs boys who are distinctively masculine. And, you know, the world needs girls who are distinctively feminine as well. But this mantle of manhood, of maleness, is a mantle you're all wearing. You can't deny it. It's yours. It's part of your physical being. And it's exactly what the doctor ordered for you. It's exactly what God ordered for you. Martin Luther, when he was chastising the whole idea of celibacy, because during his day, 25% of the population of Europe had taken vows of celibacy. He was chastising the people that took vows of celibacy. He was urging people to renounce their vows of celibacy. And he really became very belittling when he spoke to people who took vows of celibacy. I remember reading one place where he said, "Look at yourself. Just look at yourself. You were born to have children. You were born a man. Stop acting like you weren't born to be a man." And I think we need that today for sure. It was good that you were born a man. There's nothing that can change that. Here's something I don't want you to forget. You can call yourself a girl or say that you feel like a girl, but you're not a girl. You're not. And there are only two genders. There's male and there's female. Your genetic makeup tells the story. Every single cell of your body tells you whether you are a male or a female. Every single cell. If you die and they bury your bones in a grave and somebody digs it up 100 years later, they'll know you are a boy or a girl based on your bones. That's what you are. You're a boy. You're a man. And it's very important that we understand that. Here's something that we should recognize. If you feel like you're a girl or you're becoming a girl, then it's a sign of the devil's hatred of you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy the image of God in you. When your mind starts talking to you and saying, "I think I feel like a girl," that's hate speech. That's hate speech. And the devil is lying and he's abusing you. The devil hates manhood just as much as he hates womanhood, because man is made in the image of God, and the devil hates everything that God represents. And God made you in his image, and therefore the devil hates you. He hates men as men. And, you know, things are rapidly changing in our culture. I think we all know that. My daughter was in a hospital in Nebraska, just had a baby. And one of the nurses was explaining to her why they were having new forms to proclaim their preferred gender pronouns, explaining why they no longer have blue and pink tags on the baby's bassinets, that they're using gender neutral tags for babies in these hospitals. But the real mind blower happened when the nurse told her that she went into a room where a baby was just born, and the parents were sitting there and the baby was there, and she excitedly said, "Is it a boy or a girl?" And the mother said, "We're going to let the child decide." Okay, we're living in pretend land. We're living in Insaneville right now. And these matters bear down absolutely at the heart of personhood, at the heart of man made in the image of God. And so, I want you to celebrate that you're a man. Manhood glorifies God. You were born to glorify God. Men were born to do really good things. There's a job to do, and somebody has to do it, and it's men who are designed to do it. And women also have a job to do, and it's a wonderful job, and they need to do that job, and not some other kind of job. So, point number one, you're a man. Celebrate that you're a man. Glory in it, and do everything that manifests the glory of God in your manhood. That's point number one. Point number two is Jesus is the perfect man. Jesus is the quintessential image of true patriarchy. People want to either say that they are patriarchal in their thinking or not. My view is that I think the Christians should be unashamedly patriarchal in this sense, that Jesus Christ is the perfect patriarch. He's the perfect man. That's the kind of patriarchy that we subscribe to. Jesus is the perfect definition of man. Jesus was the manliest man who ever lived. And he is the definition of manhood. So if you want to become a man, then become like Jesus Christ. Octavius Winslow said it this, there is no single practical truth in the Word of God on which the Spirit more emphatically supposes is the example which Christ has set for His followers to imitate. The church needed a perfect pattern, a flawless model. It wanted a living embodiment of those precepts of the gospel so strictly enjoined upon every believer, and God has graciously set before us our true model, and that model is Jesus Christ. Let me just give you some of the theological matters here, the passages of Scripture that speak to this. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, we're called to imitate Jesus. The Apostle Paul says, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. In 1 John 2, verses 5 and 6, we're told that we ought to walk in the same way that He walks. He who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as He walked. In Romans 8, 29 and 30, we're told that we are to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Verse 29 in Romans 8, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn of many brethren. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, we're told that the Christian is to be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 14, we're told that we are to be conformed to His death. Paul says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. In Ephesians 4, 22 through 24 and Colossians 3, 9 and 10, we're told to put off the old man with his deeds and put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. In Romans chapter 6, verses 4 through 6, we're told to walk as new men. Our old man was crucified. In Ephesians 4, 13 through 16, we learn that we are to be subjected to the equipping of the saints by godly leaders, so that we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 15, we learn that we're to bear the image of the heavenly man. So, Jesus Christ was the perfect man. He is our model for all manhood. If we want to be men pleasing to God, then we will become like Jesus Christ. That's what manhood is. You can forget a lot of the manhood books that are out there. Become like Jesus Christ. Fix your eyes on Christ. You don't need a manhood book, by the way. You need Jesus Christ. You need to love Him, love His ways, walk in His ways, like the Apostle Paul said. You know, don't go buy a book on manhood. Go read the Gospels. That's where you get your vision of manhood. Now, to become a man like Him, you must be born again. And that's where we find ourselves in John chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. This is where we're speaking of a newborn man. You must be born again. In order to be the man that God created you to be, you must be born again. And John 3 brings this central matter of the gospel, and really that your entire happiness, your entire usefulness in this world depends on your response to this command. You must be born again. Everything hinges on that command. And the word born is repeated 8 times in these 8 verses. It's the heart of the message. And it's the matter of the work of the Spirit of God. You know, people say that George Whitefield preached John 3 300 times. And a woman once came up to him and asked him, why do you always go back to John 3? And he said, because you must be born again. That's why. So Nicodemus was a particular kind of man in verses 1 and 2. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Now, Nicodemus was a man, and he was a particular kind of man. He believed that Jesus was a teacher from God. Nicodemus was not a skeptic. He believed God. If you read this, you notice the respect that Nicodemus had for Jesus. He calls him teacher. He wanted a teacher, but he didn't want a savior at that time. There are vast differences in believing that Jesus Christ was some exemplary man than believing that he is Savior. And this was the problem with Nicodemus. And he saw this remarkable reality about Jesus and the signs he performed. He said, "No one can do these signs unless God is with him." He understood that something remarkable was happening. But he was not a person who was trapped in a bunch of immoral practices. He wasn't running away from the church. He upheld the law code of Moses. He was a religious man. He was not a secular man. He wasn't an atheist. He wasn't a lawbreaker in the strict sense of the word. This is the kind of man Nicodemus was. He was a good and moral man, but he was not a born again man. And we have to understand there's often a great difference between being a good boy and a born again boy. Now, there are three elements of the new birth that Jesus reveals to Nicodemus. And the first is you must be born from above. And Jesus is revealing to him his greatest need. Jesus answered and said to him, verse 3, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb?" And what Jesus was telling him, no, you must be born from above. A person is not born again by a decision that they make using earthly means and earthly motivation. A person is born again by the power of God working from above. You are born from above. You are born as a result of the power of God working in your heart from above. And it causes you to enter the kingdom of God. In fact, if you're not born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Think about the tragedy of not seeing the beauty of the kingdom of God your whole life. The kingdom of God is a beautiful kingdom. There's no kingdom greater than it. And to be deprived of being able to see the kingdom of God when you walk around in this world is a tragic loss. But the spiritual birth is a spiritual transformation. You believe, you follow Jesus, and you lose your desire to follow the world. That's what it means to be born again. And if the transformation is very powerful. And then you see the kingdom of God. And we also learn that we are born of the Spirit in verses 5 and 6. Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he can't enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit." Jesus is using the symbolism of water. The work of the Spirit is likened to the operation of water in the Gospel of John. Titus talks about the washing of regeneration. There's a washing, there's a cleansing agent that water is that speaks to this being born again. And also notice finally that you're born unexpectedly by the wind of God, verses 7 through 8. "Do not marvel that I said this to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." You can't see it, but it's real. And the Holy Spirit working in your life is likened to wind. Now, you can't see wind. You're feeling the wind right now, and you can't see it. And but you can feel the effects of the wind. You know, many times I've driven down my driveway and the road is just covered with pine needles. And you can't see the wind, but you can see what happened as a result of the wind. And that's what Jesus is speaking about here. And it sometimes moves like a gentle breeze and sometimes it moves like a tornado, but the wind blows to teach and convict of sin and lead and bring comfort, and it causes one to be born again. You never know where the wind is going to blow. Men can't blow the wind. Only the Spirit of God can blow the wind. And it blows down all the streets of your life. It blows away the trash. It blows away the things that are not necessary. It's the wind of the Spirit of God, and it causes one to be born again. So the new birth is the central matter for manhood. If you want to be a man fulfilling the role that God gave you as a man, you must be born again. Don't try to follow other men. Follow Jesus Christ. He is the true man, and He gives you the ability to be born again. So, be glad that you were created to be a man, and be sure that you're a newborn man. Be sure that you're a newborn man. Now, if you have your schedule with you, you'll see that what we're doing is we're giving short messages, and then we're having opportunities for fathers and sons to talk about those messages. So we're going to do that right now. We're going to take 10 minutes, and we want you to just talk with your son or your father, whoever you've got next to you. If you don't have a son or a father here, then just jump in with some other guys and just discuss it. What did you hear? What did you learn? What was good? What was helpful? Okay, we'll be back in 10 minutes, and Paul Carrington will come and bring the next message. Okay, everybody stand. Are you ready? We're going to memorize something while we're together here. Now, if you want to, you can open your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 2. This is David's charge to his son Solomon about being a man. And we're going to try to memorize this. Okay? So, repeat after me. Now, the days of David drew near that he should die. Now the days of David drew near that he should die. Again. Now the days of David drew near that he should die. Again. Now the days of David drew near that he should die. Again. Now the days of David drew near that he should die. Again.
Now the days of
David drew near that he should die. Again.
Now the days of David drew near that he should die.
Again. Now you're supposed to do this 10 times to really nail it. Okay. Now the days of David drew near that he should die. Again.
Now the days of David drew near that he should die. Now the days of David drew near that he should die.
And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. And he charged his son Solomon, saying, I go the way of all the earth. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Again. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Again. And he charged his Solomon, his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man. 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 Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man.
Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man.
Okay, let's go back to the beginning. Now the days of David drew near that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man. Let's do that again. Now the days of David drew near that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man. Again. Now the days of David drew near that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man. Amen. Please be seated. Let me pray for Paul. Would you make your way up here? Lord, I pray that you would keep us from falling in the ways that we're about to hear, that you would keep us from destroying our lives for lust, for affections that lead us astray. Pray you'd bless Paul as he speaks. And Lord, we need your help to hear. Open up our ears to hear wondrous things. Amen.